Good evening, everybody. Why don't we open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. You are fairer than anything we could think of. Thank you, Lord, that we are here tonight. Thank you for everybody making the effort to come out to study your word. We pray, Father, that we are seeing more of you, learning more about you, seeing you in the scriptures, growing closer to you, in the ones we are studying during this time period about the Torah, the Pentateuch, and that we will just grow and learn more about you tonight through Exodus 12 through 18. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you didn't get the vine, on the back of the vine is the outline for the chapters that I'll be covering, and there's my sermon outline there as well. So many years ago, I worked for the United States Post Office. It was like working for a business out of the 1920s, if you understand that time period. The 1920s was a time before there were many labor laws or any labor laws. Employers could do almost anything unethical and abusive to their employees without any consequences. When I worked at the post office, management would find ways to harass the workers. They would work at creating a hostile work environment that brought stress and pressure and various fears. Management would threaten and intimidate the employees. We used to say that they treated us like mules, just simply to move the mail. It was so abusive that occasionally across the nation, employees would come in with a gun and even shot and killed people, usually aiming at management. It happened often enough that the phrase became popular with the culture that described when someone was under extreme pressure and lost control and reacted extremely and perhaps violently. It was called going postal. Perhaps you heard of that. That was the life I had working at the post office. Well, perhaps you've been in a situation in your own life where you felt abused or oppressed or forced into a corner or into a situation or a trial where you needed some outside help, maybe even God's help, to be delivered and saved from it. Maybe you've even found yourself sort of going postal, so to speak. When we are in those situations, we may be tempted to question God, question his goodness, question his sovereignty in the situation, his protection, his provision. During these times, it may be hard to find a reason to praise God in the midst of your suffering and your pain and even abuse. And the last thing you may want to do is be with other believers or even turn to other Christians and see them as a help, as being given by God during these tough times in your life. Exodus 14:14 says, "The Lord will fight for you and you will be silent." The main point in tonight's scriptures is that God delivers and shows his love for his people through protection, through praise, through provision, and through people, so that we will trust and obey and love him more and more. Again, God delivers and shows his love for his people through protection, through praise, through provision, and people, so that we will trust and obey and love him more and more. So tonight we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 37, through chapter 18. The outline is in your copy of the vine. If you have been with us on Wednesdays, you know that we've been going through the first five books of the Bible called the Torah or the Pentateuch. We've gone through Genesis, and last week Justin taught on Exodus chapters 1 through 12, ending in verse 36. And again, that's where I'm picking up tonight, starting in 12:37 all the way through 18, which begins at the Exodus from Egypt to when the Israelites stopped to camp at the foot of Mount Sinai. The book of Exodus is about deliverance from oppression, from slavery, from an evil taskmaster, and God demonstrated that he is their protector, he is their provider, and he gives them reasons to praise him, and he provides people who shepherd and lead them. So my first point is God's protection. God tells his people that he will protect them in the midst of their trials and tribulations. As I quoted earlier from this section, God told the Israelites in Exodus 14:14, "The Lord will fight for you." Despite Pharaoh's harsh and evil rule over them, placing them into bondage and cruel slavery, God heard their cries and protected the Israelites. He placed them into a protective custody. God first protected them by placing them in Goshen. He protected them from his wrath with the plagues. And now in chapters 12 through 14, he protected them from Pharaoh and the Egyptian army as God led them on an exodus out of Egypt and into the wilderness to the promised land. God protected the Israelites as he, behind the scenes, momentarily softened Pharaoh's heart to finally let the people go and release them from slavery. God protected his chosen people by coming to them in a pillar of cloud and light to guide them where they should go, while also appearing to the Egyptians as a cloud of darkness so that they couldn't get to the Israelites. When Pharaoh's heart hardened again and he chased the Israelites to the Red Sea, God even protected his chosen people in a miraculous way by parting the Red Sea, giving them a way of escape, and then his wrath destroyed the Egyptian army when they retreated into the Red Sea, and the walled up water came crashing down on them, killing them all. God was with them, protecting them at every step. We can see from chapters 12 through 14 that God promises to protect his chosen people. He has also said that to us in the New Testament as well. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of age." And in Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6, "For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you,' so that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" We can be tempted to not trust God or to intentionally forget that he is right there with us when we are oppressed and abused or put under an authority that seeks to enslave us. As believers, we need to remind ourselves of God's character and faithfulness to protect his chosen people throughout history, as we see here in Exodus chapter 12 through 4. So the first point was protection. The second point is praise. So after chapters 12 through 14, the Red Sea crossing and God's protecting his people, chapter 15 pauses to focus on the praise of his people for their deliverance. I think it's interesting and noteworthy that God pauses the story of Exodus, which is dramatic and captivating, to specifically focus on the praises of his people towards him, to demonstrate to us how his people should be responding to him and his works. Chapter 15 includes the Song of Moses and the Song of Miriam, who is Moses' sister. These two songs contain rich, heartfelt lyrics that sing and celebrate and recount God's works of salvation and deliverance for the Israelites. Some of these lyrics of the Song of Moses are, I'm not going to sing it for you, verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him." Verse 6, "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemies in pieces and in greatness of your excellence." Verse 13, "You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." Scripture says that the Song of Moses is the same song which will be sung by the chosen ones in Revelation, and they're going to sing it again when they're delivered from the tyranny of the Antichrist in Revelation 15:13. This shows us that God desires to be praised, to be celebrated for his good works towards us and for his deliverances, and that we need to intentionally take time out to do this. What are the ways that you do this? Do you set intentional time aside to praise the Lord when your prayers are answered or when you recognize that the Lord has done things in your own life, especially for his big deliverances for you? God shows his great love for us when we should be setting time aside to respond with our love in praising him. So remember, God delivers and shows his love for us through protection, through praise, through provision and people, so that we will trust and obey and love him more and more. Our third point: protection, praise, and then God's provision. The second part of chapter 15, as well as chapters 16 and 17, contain a number of stories where the Israelites are on their journey into the wilderness towards the promised land. You can see on your outline that you have on the vine. This includes making the bitter water sweet at Marah so they could drink it. It includes feeding them with manna and quail when they ran out of food. It's God giving them water to drink from the rock because they were thirsty again. And he gave them victory over the Amalekites when they attacked. Through these interesting and different situations, God tells us specifically that he is testing them about their faith in him, which would include if he would provide for them what they need and when they needed it. Scripture says in this section in Exodus 17:7 that the Israelites tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Keep in mind, this was after all the miracles that God did for them, delivering them through the Red Sea and from the Egyptians. Moses was consistently speaking to God for them and from God to them. And even now, God was still leading them through the wilderness every moment in the cloud. So is the purpose of God in these situations to simply feed them and give them water? Of course not, right? The purpose was to get them to learn to put their trust in him for provision for everything. If they couldn't trust him to provide for them physically, well, how could they trust him to provide for them? How could they trust him to provide for them spiritually, which is a bigger trust, something that they couldn't see or touch or fill their bellies with. A lack of faith in the physical realm leads to a lack of faith in the spiritual realm. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verses 47 to 51, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. Your fathers ate," sorry, I just said that. "This," speaking of himself, "this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I give shall be, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So what's the application? Well, just like with the Israelites, God uses the physical situations and trials in this physical life to test and grow our faith in him and through him, which then reveals our trust in him for the spiritual things. They go hand in hand and are not exclusive of one another. So how are you doing in this area? How are you doing with anxiety when stress comes along? How are you doing with fear when the results and the tomorrows are still unknown? Are your responses revealing where you need to grow in trusting God, in his character, in his ability, and to provide what you need when you need it, and if you really don't need it, according to his will for you? Do you see the physical tests in life as real spiritual tests for you from God sent to you? Do these situations grow your love of God when you go through them? So God delivers and shows his love for his people through the protection and the praise and the provision, and then through people, so that we will trust and obey and love him more and more. The people. Chapter 18 of Exodus is an interesting interlude in their journey. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, shows up in the middle of everything. He is a priest from Midian. He brings to Moses, Moses' wife, and two sons, which must have been such a blessing to Moses at this low point already in the journey. This is a family reunion and was clearly God-timed for Moses. Moses' sons' names were Gershon and Eliezer. Their names meant, "I am a stranger in a foreign land," and "the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." At this moment, Moses must have felt like a foreigner to his own people as they rejected him and his leadership and with their death threats. The timing of his son's coming and to be reminded of his son's names must have reminded Moses that he's always been a stranger to this world for God, and that God has always been with him, and that God has delivered him over and over, and nothing has changed except the situation and the people. What an encouraging reminder this must have been to Moses as he spoke and thought about his son's names and reflected on God's love going back decades and decades in his life and even to his birth. Jethro then gets Moses and Aaron and all the elders together, and he leads a worship service for them all to praise God for all the things that he has already done for them. Jethro was so excited to see and hear the things that they were living out, but I'm thinking that they weren't so excited to actually be living them out and probably forgot that top-down view of what God was doing through them. This was right after the rock where the water came out, and Moses said that the people were going to stone him to death. What a low point in Moses' life that the rock that gave them life were the rocks they were going to use 5 minutes earlier to kill Moses. Jethro's worship service, which celebrated all that God did for them, was another break in the journey and a reminder to the elders and Moses and Aaron of who is doing the leading, of who is in control of everything, of who is God and who they were in this journey. What a great time for a worship service to get them all back on track and re-energized for what's coming next. On the next day, Jethro watched Moses shepherding and teaching and judging the congregation's issues from sunup to sundown. Jethro recognized this was exhausting and would lead to frustration in both Moses and the people that he was trying to lead and minister to. Jethro gave counsel to Moses how to better lead the people by delegating the shepherding work to other able men who fear God and who hate sin. What a blessing that must have been to Moses and to the congregation to be able to share the burdens of ministry with others. We can see that the Lord places people in our lives to help us when we need God to work in our lives. He gave Aaron to Moses to be his mouthpiece. He gave Miriam to lead the ladies in worship. He gave Moses to lead the people and be the voice of God to them. He gave Moses his family at a time when he needed encouragement and to be reminded of his life and calling, and that God was always with him. He gave Jethro to counsel and to lift up the leaders and to lead the leaders in worship when it was a low point in ministry and things were getting frustrating and out of control. Psalm 27:9 says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." As believers, we have to see that God uses people in our lives to show us that he loves us. He provides people to encourage us, to point us to worship him, to lead us, and to point out where we fall short and need to change or to grow where God wants us to. Christians who pull away from people, who separate themselves from the church body, who avoid seeking or applying the counsel of others, who don't do these things for other people, are really also pulling away from how God has revealed of how he works in our lives for our good and to demonstrate his great love for us and to others. And those people usually struggle with those things in their own lives. And many times they struggle seeing God working in their own life and seeing God's love for them. If we love God, then we love people. And if we love that God uses people to then show his love for us through them and his love for them through us, which then makes us all love him more and more when we see God in doing that. So God delivers and shows his love for his chosen people through his protection of us, through our praises of him, through his provision to us, and through the people he places in our lives so that we can trust and obey and love him more and more. I hope that you could see that through Exodus and especially through chapters 12 through 18. Please go back and reread them with this in mind, as I can't retell all the stories of them tonight. Another thing that is clear in these stories is that God's wrath is upon those who reject him, who reject following him into the wilderness, who reject trusting in his provision, who reject praising him for the great things that he has done, who reject that he will protect them, who reject his character and his word and reject his promises, those who reject what he has specifically revealed to them, and those who won't bow their knee to him and reject the promise of judgment one day. Those rejectors will one day be swept away in an instant, like the Egyptians did when the Red Sea collapsed on them, and off they go into eternal judgment without another opportunity to believe and to follow the God of the Exodus that was happening right in front of them, the God of the Bible, the God who delivers and saves, not just from things in this world, but from what's coming next. Today is the salvation and to stop rejecting God. If you are a believer and a follower of God, then be faithful to stop, to praise the Lord for his many deliverances that he has done for you in this physical life, and also for the eternal spiritual deliverance from the spiritual bondage of sin and the consequences of it. Grow in your trust of God to protect you, to provide for you, and to work through the people that he places in your life. And please pray about that tonight when we go to prayer. When I worked in the post office, it felt like I was under a slavish taskmaster who only sought to do me evil. But it was also the place where I saw God working in my life as a new believer, where he tested my faith, where I had to trust him to deliver me from daily situations, to protect me, to continually provide for me and my family, where I saw him working through other people. One guy actually came to faith when I was there. And then God tested my faith and trust in him when he finally removed me from there abruptly, much like the Israelites. I hope you have similar testimonies and experiences in your own lives that you can look back on and see these things as well in your own life. If not, they may be coming. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for what you have revealed to us. You've revealed your character. You've revealed that you love us. You revealed that you provide for us, that you protect us, that you put people in our lives for our own good benefit, and that we are called to praise you when you are delivering us through these situations in our physical lives. And we pray, Father, that we just not look at them physically, but we look at them spiritually, that you are accomplishing our sanctification through them, that you are accomplishing great things through us and to other people, that we may grow more and more like Christ, that we are growing in our love of you, that we see you literally acting in our lives through these things, Lord, that'll just grow us in the praise and understanding you and to glorify you better and better, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless our prayers tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.